Psalm 78. And I want to read the first 8 verses. I'm preaching under a heavy burden. It's actually a twofold burden, just to be honest with you. Of course, I'm burdened for my daughter-in-law. I'm burdened for my son, very much so. But I'm burdened for the content of the message, very burdened. And I want to say this before I begin. I'm direct, but never take anything I preach as a mean spirit. I don't want that. I want to preach hard. I want to preach straight, but I don't want to preach mean. I don't want to preach angry, because that's neither one of those are the case in my heart today. I'm carrying a burden. I'm seeing things that are really burdening me, not only as a pastor, but just as a Christian in particular. And I'm not talking about politics. I'm not preaching that today. I'm preaching about spiritual things. And I want to preach this morning an old message that the Lord's added to. I don't know how old this message is. It's probably over 20. And the Lord brought it to my heart last night. And look at verse number 1, and I'll read about the first 8 verses. This is a song of instruction. The Psalms, the majority of the Psalms were songs, and songs of praise, songs of admonition or warning, and then here we have a song of instruction. And the Bible says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." This is not Father's Day, but I do want to say this. Fathers have told us. Get a hold of that, dads. Fathers have told us. The responsibility of making sure our family knows truth lies in the Father. The Word of God teaches that, not only in that verse, but also in other verses. Fathers, and don't get me wrong, mamas, you do teach the Word of God to your children. But fathers, you have a great responsibility to remind your children of the things of God. And what the Lord has done, and what God can do, and what God will do if we are obedient, or what God will do if we're not. That is very key. Folks, it is our responsibility as parents to teach our children the fear of the Lord. Amen. Let that sink in. That reverential fear that He is God, and that He is in control. And that he has given us His Word. And so if our children have no fear of God, maybe it's because we've never taught them to fear Him. Now, I don't want my kids living in fear. That's not what I'm talking about at all. But they ought to live in awe of God, saying, you know what? He sees all. He knows all. And He'll take care of all. So we do have that responsibility. And look at verse 4, I will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He hath established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. There it is again. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them unto their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. A generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. I want to preach an old thought, if we get there, on why have the children quit? And I'll explain more about that here in a little while. But when I came in from my office last night, I got ready for bed and went into the bedroom, and I laid down, and my wife were talking. I said, wait a minute, God's just, I got to write something. He gave me he put another thing on my heart to say today. And I said, if I don't write it down, I'll not remember it tomorrow. So the Lord made it priority in my heart. So I want to hit this first. Parents, especially, that have children from 1 to 13. I believe those are critical years spiritually. I think they're very critical years spiritually. And the Lord spoke to my heart that parents, you need to teach your children. I don't have children that age anymore, but yet we still instruct our children. I can't make my boys do I can't make them do anything. They're grown men, and they don't live under my authority. They're men. They have forsaken father and mother and cleaved unto their own wives and have their own home. So therefore, I can say it, but sometimes that don't go far. But however, while you have the opportunity, there's three things. You get these. You write these down, parents. You need to. There's three things. You know them. That you need. It is detrimental. These three things that you need to teach your children. Number one, simply the way of salvation. Not just from the pastor and an evangelist that comes through, should be to our Sunday school teacher, and I thank God for all of that. But you are responsible for teaching your children how they need to be saved, why they need to be saved, who and who alone can save them. You need to be pointing them to Jesus, not trying to jerk a profession out of them, not trying to make perfection out of them, but they're not perfect. That's why they need Jesus. You and I are not perfect. That's why we needed Christ. Amen. For all have sinned. Man was born in sin. We are sinners by nature and choice. And the only hope for us in this Adamic body, Adam body, is Christ. I repeat, Christ is the way, truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but through Jesus. Not Muhammad. Not Buddha. Not some religious act. But through Christ alone. You need to make sure you teach your children the way of salvation. Number two, see, that's the first step. That's the first lesson. But then, you hang with me, it's going to get a little stuffy in here. But then, parents, it is your responsibility not only to teach them the way of salvation, but the why of separation. We've dropped the ball on that. I said we. We don't explain to them why we have a standard. I'm going to say something. Kids are smarter than they were in the 70s. I'm not lying. They are. It took me 3 months to learn how to work one of them little electronic football games. How about putting it in the poorhouse buying batteries? Kids now, they're sharp. See, you and I, when our parents set a standard, why? I said so. I'm not saying that was right, but that tone was good for me. But that won't put it in their heart. That'll put it in their head. You can enforce it in those years. But if you never explain the why of a standard you've got, they'll rebel against it when they get to. It's got to be more than that's what the preacher said. Folks, please don't base your spirituality. Well, I'm just doing that because the preacher said so. Man, what if I do something wrong? I could. What if I missed it? What if I made a bad call? Yeah, preachers do that. See, when the Lord saved me and called me, He didn't make me perfect. I still fight the flesh like you do. I still have issues like you do. I still miss it too, like you do. So if that's all it is, as soon as that child sees a flaw in the preacher, and they will, just like you do. I know you have flaws. You know I. No, if you don't set a standard and say, well, that's just how we're going to do it. Whatever age they are, and your standard, whatever your standard is, whatever your separation is, and folks, it ought to be biblical. God's commandments are not grievous. The Pharisees added more to what God said and wasn't even doing it themselves. That's Bible, friend. And I believe in biblical separation. And I hope you believe in it because it's taught very clearly in the Bible. Paul dealt with biblical separation to an ungodly carnal church at Corinth. He dealt with it plainly. He dealt with it explicitly. He called them out on their carnality. So it's biblical, but you've got to say, hey, whatever age they are, and they say, you say, well, we don't do this, and we can't go there. And they say, why? Please give them more than because I said so. And please don't ever say, well, if the preacher found out, he'd fuss. You know what that's going to do? It's going to put a bad taste in their mouth for their preacher. How you know? Because I've had children with bad taste in their mouth over their preacher because that's the answer they got. Because the preacher said so. Well, that preacher's rough. Every standard you got, you better have a verse with it. And you better pray over it. And when your child comes to you, whether they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know the rest of the story. Explain it biblically. It'd be all right if you say, you know, honey, I know you may not understand it fully, but God has showed us in His Word that this is how we need to do this. This is the standard for our home. This is the standard, you know, and even if they don't like it, you've given them, thus saith the Lord, not just because I said so. But by all means, teach them the whys of our separation. Folks, you understand, I'm an independent Baptist. This church is not affiliated with any convention or association. But this crowd, I can't preach against Southern Baptists. I can't preach against men. I ain't never belonged to one. They have their issues, we have ours. But they have turned more of our young generation away by simply thundering from a pulpit what you ought to do and not give one blessed fire verse for it. And when they get older, they gone, buddy. They're out of here. Then you set a standard for your child that they don't see you living. You'll set a standard, an act of separation for your child. I'm not getting any farther. For your child, and then they watch you like they watch them Pharisees. They ain't even doing it. We have a standard. There'll be no profanity in this house. And the very second you hit your fingernail with a hammer, you broke the standard. If you do break a standard, you need to, of course, apologize to God and apologize to them. Say, hey, matter of fact, it wouldn't hurt you to get them around the shoulders and pray and ask God to forgive you, and then ask them to forgive you. You know what? If you humble yourselves, your child will humble themselves. But if you act like you walk on water and everything but breathing's wrong and they can't do nothing but breathing, better not do that very loud. Hey, back when I was a kid, We'll get you a whooping. An eye roll gets you a busted mouth. Now, y'all think I'm kidding? Huh. What'd you say? I didn't do nothing but breathe, Daddy. You're breathing a little too hard, boy. I'd hold my breath in my room. But we have to teach them the way of salvation, the why of separation, and then we need to teach them the warrant of Scripture. Now, preacher, what are you talking about? That word warrant, so synonyms for that word is assurance, credentials, authority. We need to teach them that this is God's very word.
Amen.
And folks, the devil, I thought Brother Will, I thought you was about to get my message, but man, I'm glad you preached it. I'm glad you used it today. It was good. Man, you had a saying, study to show thyself approved unto God. And if we don't do it unto God, we're just studying to show ourselves. Ain't one thing wrong with that statement. God didn't give it to me. That's good. That's a profound statement. That's a profound statement. Study to show thyself approved unto God. We spend too much time trying to do it to get the applause of man instead of the approval of God. Whew, that's a blessing. In 50 years, somebody's going to post that on Facebook and put your name under it. I might do it today. Brother Jonathan, the importance of knowing why we use this King James Bible, the importance of why we stand where we stand. That teen devotion class, he went through an intense study. And guess what? We're going to get that thing published in a book. He's working on some things with it. We're going to have it published as a book. He's going to have a book on it. And everybody's going to get one. One of the best. He gave me, and I think maybe Brother Bud, a copy of it in a notebook. It's great. It's wonderful. Don't tell me these young people ain't smart. Huh? Don't tell me they ain't. See, I'm saying I ain't smart. See, I ain't smart. Yeah, I think they finally figured out Southerners weren't going to stop saying it, so they just put it in there. I did say there instead of there. If all your children know is that, well, that King James Bible has them hard words in it. Folks, you understand this Bible is written on a fifth grade level?
That's right.
Fifth grade level. Well, preacher, I don't understand it because it's a spiritual book.
Yeah.
It has to be discerned by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That's why you pray before you study and read it. God, open my heart. But if you turn against this the King James Bible because, well, I don't speak Old English anymore. Folks, if that's the only reason that I held to this old Bible was because of these and the thous, man, I'd be crazy. That's far from the reason. This book comes from the received text, the sacred text. Are you with me? Folks, I don't believe in double inspiration, but I believe in preservation. God preserved His Word. You said it this morning for the English speaking people in the King James Bible. So many different translations out there come from corrupt texts, Westcott and Hort, and all these that didn't even believe in the virgin birth, the blood of Christ. I'm not reading the Bible translated from anybody that don't believe in Christ and Him being the Son of God and God incarnate.
Amen.
It takes virgin out, puts young lady. Takes verses out, changes the whole context of it. I ain't doing it.
Amen.
I've said this before. A man told another preacher one time, so that old King James Bible get you to heaven. That's as far as I'm going. I'm not going any farther than that. Now, I'm not trying to convince you to agree with me. I'm just telling you, you're in a church that believes this.
Amen.
I've been preaching it all my life and don't have any plans to change it. But you know what? Our young people are leaving. They're leaving because we've dropped the ball as a whole. We've been so mean-spirited. Again, I'm not saying, I still believe in preaching it straight down the line, calling sin by its first name. No sense in beating around the bush. If you want me to give you a big list of sins, I will. But now we're trying to rename everything so it won't offend anybody. Folks, if the Bible says it's sin, then it is sin. And call that sin what God called it. But yet, we've been so mean about it. I've dropped the ball, and many times I've had to say, Lord, hey, you say, well, you're getting old, you're getting soft. No, I'm getting some sense. I still believe this book. I still believe every word of it. I'm still going to preach it. But yet, we've got to know it to tell the why. Why do you believe that, preacher? It's got to be more, well, that's what my mama read. That's a blessed thing, but that's not good enough for them. Matter of fact, that ain't good enough for me now. We've got, hey, if we're not going to educate ourselves on these three things, then we should not be surprised when the young people quit. We have the Holy Spirit lives within us, and we're so dry and dead. That's why they're jumping over to the New Age movement. I call it New Age. I don't know what the exact word is. Where it's, all the lights are off in the sanctuary, and there's a light shining up here, and there's lights shining, flashing everywhere, and you feel like you had a rock and roll concert. Preacher, you're judging. Folks, I'm not judging. Get on some of these live streams and see it. I'm just telling you what they do. God's a God of light, not darkness.
Amen.
Let's cut the lights off so nobody gets embarrassed if I mention their sin. Hey, that's what they need. It's an opportunity for the Holy Ghost to say, hey, listen to that. Now, I'm not beating anybody. I don't go to those churches either. But we're losing a generation. We are losing a generation. Because, number one, we have no patience with them. Man, I think back, man, I was as rebellious as they come as a teenager. Now, I see rebellious teenagers, and I want to get critical of the Holy Ghost. Says, ho, Hoss. Remember? Remember when the preacher called you down? Of course, preachers get run off of that now. That just let my parents up on me. It embarrassed them. I made them look bad. Hey, young people, when you sit there talking and whispering on your cell phones, you're making your parents look bad. You make your mom and daddy look like they ain't raising you right. Especially if they're doing it sitting right beside mom and daddy. Mom and daddy ain't said nothing. I seen this clip. This dad come in, his daughter's video game, it's on the screen on the wall, she's playing. He said, I thought I told you to clean your room up. She said, I thought I told you I was playing this video game. She had a little old guitar laying there, and he took the guitar and smashed the television. What'd you think about that, preacher? Daddy. I told you about the missionary. This is a true story. I told you about the missionary that come over here from a different country and stayed, I don't know, maybe a year. I don't remember the exact time. And before he headed back to his country, they asked him a question. What impresses you the most about America? He said, be honest with you, how the parents obey their children here. How the parents obey their children. If that don't make us look bad, nothing will. And the only place he was around America was church. When they're at home, the Bible says, obey your parents in the Lord. That's right. When they're on their own, it goes to honor thy father and mother. That's right. You're not under their authority, but you honor them because through them, God made you. And through them, you didn't die of starvation. You didn't die in the cold with no clothes. You had a roof over. Hey, you honor them. I don't like adult children dishonoring their parent. It's wrong. If my dad, well, as a matter of fact, I did it. I was 26 when God called my mother home. I was 41, I think it was, when God called my daddy home. And whatever they told me to do, even then I tried to do it. Parents, you listen, especially ages 1 to 13. 1 to 13, you listen to me. I've not even gotten into the introduction of this message yet. Teach them the way of salvation through Christ alone. Teach that to them. Teach it to them. Read it out of the Bible and then get some good, sound, fundamental material and it has these stories and read it. God uses that. And teach them the why of separation. Mama, why? Daddy, why do we go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? My friend just has it on Sunday morning. And I'm not saying that to belittle anybody, but explain to them why you do it, why we do it. Read them Hebrews. Yeah, read them that. Said, you know, the Lord can come back any moment. He tells us to really be doing it more. That's why. And I know sometimes for a child, church is boring. I remember as a kid, an hour service felt like 3 hours sometimes. So it was rough when we got them 3 hour services. My mother and them sang gospel music, and we'd travel on Saturday night. They'd have four groups there. I start praying immediately. Please don't go two rounds. Please don't go two rounds. But we passed the Burger King down here, Lord. I ain't lying. Please. I got a Whopper on my mind. Man, I've been eating Whoppers since I had teeth. And sure enough, each one of them, Brother Dub, bless his heart, he sang a song, talked 10 minutes, sang a song, talked 20 minutes. I was all good. I'm thinking of the child's aspect. Man, dear Dub, please, sing and get out. Next group, same thing. Next group, same thing. Next group, the same thing. Then I felt like, well, we're at the end. Pastor said, we're going to ask them all to come up and sing one or two more songs. I'm like, preacher, you ain't out of the will of God. So I understand sometimes an hour is hard for a child. It's hard, but you teach them. The why of that. You teach them the why of the scripture. You teach them the why of, well, you can't wear that. Why not? You tell them the why of it. Everybody else is wearing it. I'm going to let y'all in on something. That one right there. And you daddy's better amen me. Amen. That's harder for a girl. Ain't it?
Yes, sir. Yes, it
is. Tell my boy, ah! That's all it took. Them girls got feelings. I finally start doing this. When she turns her back, talk to her. Tell Kim, talk to her. I don't need no meltdown. Talk. Say something. You say, you coward. I know it. These women got me wrapped, don't they? It's harder for girls.
It is.
It is. And I learned that in the last 15 years. Sometimes I thought my daddy didn't love me like he did them. I understand him now. But he probably did love them more than he did. One time Faith did something and I laughed and one of the boys said, "You'd have whipped us for that." And I said, "Oh, I forgot to tell you, she's my favorite." That was my response. They knew better. We have a responsibility. I don't want them to quit. Folks, what's going to happen to this if we drop in the ball and they all walk away? What's going to happen? I tell you what's going to happen. It's going to be done. And I'm not preaching compromise, but we have to show some patience and some spirituality. And here's a lesson I wish I could do over. Be more encouraging. Be more encouraging to them. Don't focus on all the things they can't do. Focus on what they can do.
Amen.
Hmm?
Right.
Focus on, hey, I think about my son's one of them sitting here today. One of the young preachers just surrendered to preach. It's all sitting on, three of them's right here. Have some, well, Brother Raymond, you've been preaching a while. Brother John, you've been preaching a while. You ain't a young preacher no more. You seasoned. But they're not supposed to preach like Alfred Willis.
That's right.
They're not supposed to preach like Mark Stroud. And if you sit there and critique them, and all you're doing is throwing off on stuff, hey, I was a mess preaching. But when I asked my daddy and mom, God was great. What if you preach the truth? It is great. It is great. It's because I was talking 900 miles an hour. I had the gift. I could preach a 30-minute sermon in 10 minutes. They focused on what they could encourage me with, not to criticize me with. Encourage them. If they're not encouraged, they'll be discouraged. And when they get to a certain age and they live in your house, you can be the enforcer. And I think you ought to be, but you cannot be their mindset. You cannot force them to think what you want them to think. It's different. Come on, Courtney. It's different being grandpa. Maddie made me mad yesterday. And Taylor made me mad too. Every now and then, Papa would give Paisley a little Diet Pepsi. Well, caffeine. So I got started buying caffeine free. Well, the dentist had opened his big mouth about staining teeth with it. I need to talk to him. And there's over the house, and Paisley, "Mama, can I have a little bit?" Her hands are caffeine free, and I've done cocked and ready to get up. No. I kept my mouth shut. But when they left, I told Kim, I said, "Well, she's here without them. She's getting it." I don't interfere in their discipline, what they do. That's not my business. But it ain't easy, is it? Papa, it ain't easy, is it? Ooh. I want to go around back. Go a few rounds with that big boy over there sometime. But I didn't like it when I got instructed and I got talked to like that as a daddy. So I'm trying to stay back. You ain't papa's yet. You'll find out. But teach them right. Let's all stand.